ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो टू चैप्टर कैंटो टेन चैप्टर टू टेक्स्ट नंबर सेवन। गच्छ देवी व्रजं भद्रे गोपघोभिरलङ्कृतम् रोहिणी वासुदेवस्य सॉरी रोहिणी वसुदेवस्य भार्यास्ते नन्दगोकुले अन्याश्च कंस संविघ्ना विवरेषु वसन्ति हि। ट्रांसलेशन। द लॉर्ड ऑर्डर्ड योगमाया, ओ माय पोटेंसी हु आर वर्शिपेबल फॉर द एंटायर वर्ल्ड एंड हुज नेचर इज टू बिस्टाउ गुड फॉर्च्यून अपॉन ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज, गो टू व्रज वेयर देयर लिव मेनी काउहर्ड मेन एंड अदर वाइव्स एंड देयर वाइव्स। In that very beautiful land where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudev, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudev are also living there incognito because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Nanda Gokula, the residence of Nanda, King Nanda, was itself very beautiful. And when Yogamaya was ordered to go there and encourage the devotees with fearlessness, it became even more beautiful and safe. Because Yogamaya had the ability to create such an atmosphere, the Lord ordered her to go to Nanda Gokula. The Lord ordered Hare Krishna, seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I can try and absorb my consciousness in the ocean of nectar that Srila Prabhupada has facilitated through these purports and translations to Srimad Bhagavatam. So beautiful. What really struck me was two times in this translation, of all things Krishna is referring to cows in Vraja. Two times, twice. Saying, go to Vraja where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that very beautiful land where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudeva, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. So every instruction that Krishna gives is very pleasant. Because in the instruction, Krishna actually reveals the entire realm of Gokula, the entire spiritual world. In this material world, when we give instructions to someone, half the times we are renting out our own frustration. So instruction becomes very obscure, the frustration becomes prominent. But because Krishna's heart is filled with joy, Anandamayo Bhyasa, Krishna's reservoir of pleasure. So he talks about, he gives an instruction to Yogamaya and asks her to go to Vraja to protect the residents of Vraja. And he is addressing Yogamaya as Bhadre, means who are worshipable for the entire world and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities. Shri Jiva Goswami explains that one of the fundamental philosophical points that Srimad Bhagavatam delves upon is the distinction between two types of illusion, Yogamaya and Mahamaya. And he says both are types of illusions, both are illusions. Two types of illusions, Yogamaya and Mahamaya, the spiritual and material state of existence, respectively. Although Krishna is God, the omnipotent, omniscient, supreme being, his intimate associates in the spiritual world love him so much that they see him as their beloved child, friend, lover, and so on. So that their ecstatic love can transcend the boundaries of mere reverence, they forget that Krishna is the supreme God of all the universes, and thus their pure intimate love expands unlimitedly. So this reference to Jiva Goswami's statement is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto 28th chapter, verse number 13, purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. It's very interesting. Both are kinds of illusions. Gopi Parandan Prabhu was explaining in a class that when Krishna says, Mata Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha, I'm sitting in everyone's heart, and I create remembrance, it's by me that there is forgetfulness. So forgetfulness also has a purpose. Just as we are all sitting in this class and it's our earnest desire to be absorbed in the purport of Srila Prabhupada, in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. But if at this moment I am bombarded with all the assignments and all the classes I need to give today afternoon at IIT, I just cannot focus. I need to forget that in order to remember and focus on something else. If I have to focus on my relationship with someone, I need to forget all the bad that this person has done to me, according to my perception, that too. I need to focus. So it's by Krishna's grace that one can forget, and it's by Krishna's grace that one can remember. So Yoga Maya is serving that purpose. She is also serving the purpose of forgetfulness. In Chitracharitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 4, verse number 29, Prabhupada says that Yoga Maya is the name of the internal potency that makes even the Lord forget himself and become an object of love for his pure devotee in different transcendental mellows. So Yoga Maya, she makes even the Lord forget. If the Lord wants to become completely subordinate to his devotees, he has to forget everything else. The Lord actually can perform multiple activities at once. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Balakriya Che. But still, Prabhupada makes this point about Yoga Maya's potency. When Parikshit Maharaj was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days and seven nights, he wasn't tormented by hunger and thirst. He forgot. He forgot what hunger and thirst mean. That's again because of Krishna's grace. It's Yoga Maya. So we actually have no respite from Maya. We have to be under illusion. Question is, what illusion we want to be under? I was reading this book, Transcendental Personalism by Sohotra Maharaj, and there he explains, with reference to commentaries by Acharyas, he says that in this world, there is aham and then there is mameti. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Aham comes first and then mameti. I am important, so everything in relationship with mine is important. So the illusion is I. Everything is centered around I. In the spiritual world, mine comes before I. My relationship with Krishna is more important, and I forget myself in my relationship with Krishna. In the 10th canto, we find this beautiful pastime of Mother Yashoda, who sees in the beautiful lotus mouth of Krishna the entire universe, Brahman. And for a moment, she thinks, oh, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada writes, Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. She could understand the whole philosophy of life. Prabhupada writes. But at the next moment, she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yoga Maya. So Krishna did not like Mother Yashoda being filled with awe and reverence. Immediately covered her with Yoga Maya. And immediately Mother Yashoda thought, oh, I have to feed Krishna my breast milk. I have to sing some glory to Krishna and make him, put him to sleep. Krishna is very hungry. Or Krishna is very naughty. I need to tie him up and punish him. So this is under the influence of Yoga Maya. And we understand that in Vrindavan, Yoga Maya, as Paurnamasi, she is bewildering all the residents and making them think that Krishna, he is actually one of our playmates. But the same Maya, she is also there in Mathura, which is next door. And she is right there by the side of Kamsa's palace. She's also there here in as Mahamaya, as Mumba Devi in Mumbai. So we understand from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that both Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, they are actually non-different. They are energies of Krishna. Prabhupada used to often say, there's no difference. Prabhupada explains with an analogy. Just like electricity. Electricity, it can be used to heat up a coil. or the same electricity with suitable transformation can be used to cool up this room. AC is not running, but when AC runs on Sunday, you experience the same electricity in the form of AC, air conditioner. So, Prabhupada says in a purport that one who is expert can transform one form of energy to another form of energy. That's Krishna. He says the same energy acts as his internal and external and marginal energies, and by his omnipotency he can perform anything and everything through the agency of any of the above energies. He can turn the external energy into internal energy by his will. Therefore, by his grace, the external energy which is employed in illusioning those living entities who want to have it subsides by the will of the Lord in terms of repentance and penance for the conditioned soul. So this external energy, which is very strong, it's so strong, it's very hard to overcome this external energy. Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Impossible to actually overcome it. So same external energy subsides by the will of the Lord. So Yogamaya, whom Krishna is instructing to go to the holy abode of Raja, she is also residing as Proud Maya in Antardweep. So Nityananda Prabhu, when he was taking Shri Rajiv Goswami through a tour of Shrida Mayapur, he explains, this is Antardweep and here is the residence of Vridha Shiva and Proud Maya. And he explains that when Lord Gaurang Mahaprabhu disappears from this world, when he'll disappear, Mother Ganga will swell, and at that time all the land of Navadweep will be submerged except the place of residence of Proud Maya and Vridha Shiva. And Proud Maya and Vridha Shiva will protect this dham. And anyone in the future who comes to this place, Proud Maya will facilitate that devotee's service to Lord Gauranga. But if he is not a devotee of the Lord, if he wants to disturb the Lord, she will protect the dham from him. So she is actually protecting. She is protecting the Lord from our disturbance, or she is protecting us from external disturbance. She is actually protecting. Her only goal is to serve Krishna. Is it that in one form as Mahamaya, she is unfavorable to Krishna, and as Yogamaya, she is favorable to Krishna? No, she has only one goal, is to please Krishna. Radhanath Maharaj gives a very beautiful lecture entitled One Cannot Please Too Many People. So he explains that one of his god brothers, he became some kind of a director, producing director or something like that, at Walt Disney Studio. And he thought, I'll make good use of this opportunity. Let me produce an animation on Ramayana. So the process started. And then he saw there were so many obstacles. For example, the guys there wanted him to very graphically show the kidnapping of Sita Devi. And he didn't want to. You don't want to meditate on how Sita Devi was kidnapped. And that's what he expresses. So eventually he had to give up the idea of producing Ramayana through Walt Disney, and he had to come to India and seek help from devotees here to produce his Ramayana. That's what Maharaj explains in this class. So you cannot please everyone. It's very hard. Prabhupada was traveling in Japan from Tokyo by this train, bullet train called Shinkansen. So this is I'm recalling from Bhurijan Prabhu's book, My Glorious Master. And as Prabhupada was traveling, Sudama Prabhu mentioned to Prabhupada that we have arranged a program for you at Kobe. However, right after your program, there will be a talk by one Kaivalya Swami. Prabhupada was not very happy. And he said, the organizer has said that if the people there are all pleased with your lecture, then we can construct a temple, Hare Krishna temple in Kobe. So a big temple was at stake, but Prabhupada didn't care. Prabhupada said, please them or please Krishna. And as Prabhupada was saying this, the supervisor of the train was walking. The Shinkansen bullet train travels at 100 plus miles per hour. However, Bhanu Maharaj, who was also traveling, he had vacated a seat to give space for Prabhupada to rest his legs. So Prabhupada was relaxing and the supervisor said, everyone is supposed to sit down. So he pointed to Bhanu Maharaj, you must sit down because this train is traveling at high speed. So Bhanu Maharaj, he didn't know what to do because he had volunteered and offered the seat to Prabhupada. So Burijan Prabhu requested Prabhupada, can you please remove your lotus feet so that Bhanu Maharaj can sit on the seat. Prabhupada said, yes, I will remove my lotus feet so that a lotus-like devotee can sit on the seat. So Prabhupada fully focused on pleasing Krishna. That's it, fully focused. But it's a fact. If we please Krishna, we can please others. Of course, very often, on the pretext of pleasing Krishna, we may try to please our own false ego. That's another attack. Very powerful attack of Maya. So Maya, as Mahamaya, she is protecting the Lord's abode from us, from our disturbance. And she wants to make sure that we are damn serious about serving the Lord. Absolutely serious. Srila Prabhupada was walking on a waterfront. This was in Germany. And he saw that there was a big ocean liner which was being pulled by a small tugboat. This tugboat is really small, maybe 1/10,000, 100 the size of this ocean liner, very small. But this ocean liner was being pulled by the tugboat to the shore. Why? Because the ocean liner's engine was switched off. So Prabhupada, he told his disciples, see, even a big ocean liner, if its engine is switched off, it can be pulled by a small tugboat. So no matter how big you are, if you switch off your Krishna consciousness, Mahamaya can pull you. Very powerful. Even for a moment. And the nature of Maya Devi is such that she is always inventing new weapons for attacking us. Always inventing new weapons. Just like even in this world, we see different kind of terrorist attacks. Different kind of attacks. Now there is biological warfare. Anthrax, you can attack someone with a small bottle and kill everyone. So Maya Devi is always finding new ways to attack. We may think, I am completely secure. I have evaluated those five ways that Maya has attacked me in the past. I am completely secure. I know the solutions to all of these. Sixth way, we have not accounted for. So Radhanath Maharaj, he has a beautiful class entitled This Material World, A Prison Without Walls. Material world is a prison without walls. He says in West Virginia, there's a big prison, huge prison, and the walls are at least 10 feet thick. Hard to break through. But he explains that there are several records of prisoners escaping those prisons. But he explains his material world is such a prison house that nobody wants to get out. There are no walls. Nobody wants to get out. That's how powerful Maya is. And he explains that Maya's special attack is to create our own agenda against the agenda of the entire community of devotees. And often be at odds with the mood of Srila Prabhupada's mission. And what happens because of that? Discords between devotees. So Maharaj explains, this is Maya's most powerful attack. And he said, we should be very surprised if there is no discord between devotees. I'm so conditioned to think like this that whenever some devotees give me a report of some other temple, I keep hearing, and wait for the point when he talks about some discord. That's how conditioned we are. Actually speaking, that's Maya's attack. Why should we be eager to hear how Maya attacked? We should be eager to protect ourselves against Maya. So Radhanath Maharaj explains that it is because Maya is so strong, Mahamaya is so strong, and we are so weak, we have to absolutely understand the importance of associating with devotees. We have no other hope, no other respite. We have to take shelter of devotees. Because Maya is so strong, she's always inventing new weapons. But at the same time, her only goal is actually get us to closer to Krishna. So another lecture of Radhanath Maharaj, he explains that in the ancient times, Egypt, the rulers used to levy very heavy taxes on the people. such heavy taxes. People were so oppressed. So Messiah, the messenger of God, came and said, I can take you to the land of God. But it is a little far from this place. You had to walk for 40 years. 40 years you had to walk. And you had to cross over a desert. It's a land of wilderness. It's called the Sinai Desert. Even now I looked up. There is an island, a desert pocket, whose name resembles cyanide. Cyanide desert, very poisonous. How to cross over this? So he explains. The Messiah said, but every day, once every day, the Lord will provide a special nourishing agent called mana. This mana will be provided once a day, and you have to consume it there and then. Don't keep it for next day, because if you keep it for next day, it will not be nourishing. But the condition is, it will nourish you completely, provided you don't seek nourishment elsewhere. If you seek nourishment elsewhere, mana's nourishing potency will fade away. And you have to do this for 40 years. You should not seek nourishment elsewhere. You should only take mana which is provided once a day. So he explains what this analogy is about. It's not an analogy, it's a true story, but there is also a comparison. So this heavy taxes that were being levied on the citizens of Egypt is like the tormenting nature of our mind and senses. It's constantly tormenting us, constantly tormenting us. Actually, mind and senses are simply instruments of Mahamaya, who's testing our seriousness in Krishna, about Krishna. And to cross over this desert of Sinai, we need nourishment. To go back to the abode of God, free from this tormenting nature of mind and senses, we need nourishment. And this nourishment is in the form of the Lord's holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But sometimes we think, I've got the Hare Krishna mantra, I've also got a good position, and I've also got many other objects of sense gratification. No, then the Hare Krishna mantra won't be nourishing us as much. We should not be seeking nourishment elsewhere, and we should not be keeping our rounds pending for the next day. We should not keep the mana pending for the next day, obviously. So this is calling out with helplessness. Raj Bihari Prabhu was giving such a beautiful example on Sunday. I think, was it a rabbit and dog? Rabbit which was running away from the dog. And why was the dog not able to catch the rabbit? Because the dog was only running for its food. The rabbit was running for its life. Of course, devouring our consciousness is not Maya's food. It's a service to Krishna. It's not that Maya is taking great pleasure in tormenting us. In fact, she's very sad that she has to torment the living entities this way. That's a service to Krishna. And therefore, she prayed to Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Oh, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that's my only role in this world. I only have to keep testing the living entities. Please give me a position at your lotus feet so that I can serve you. So she is residing in Navadvip, serving the Lord. But it's important that we take this process with great enthusiasm. When we hear such beautiful narrations, examples, analogies, we might feel a lot of inspiration. But along with enthusiasm, we also need a lot of patience. 40 years. 40 years. Day 1, day 2, day 3, year 1, year 2. But 40 years is a long time. But they had to endure. And the classic example of a perfect mixture of enthusiasm and patience is Mother Devaki, whom we are reading about. Mother Devaki, she had to bear 6 children and see all of them get killed. What a painful experience. Bearing every child for 9 months, the womb. And just to see the child killed. She was so patient. Srila Prabhupada was so patient. Mukund Maharaj, he writes in this book, Miracle on Second Avenue, he writes that most of the sadhus whom he met in New York, they had either posh surroundings or they had posh followers. But Srila Prabhupada, he found in some corner, and that too an apartment which was filled with drunkards. All he could smell when he went to the apartment where Srila Prabhupada was giving a talk was the odor of a mixture of urine and liquor. And our Sachinanda Maharaj explains that liquor itself is smelling like horse urine. So it's like a mixture of horse urine and human urine. Very obnoxious. Why is it that Prabhupada was in such a remote corner? Prabhupada was also so patient. Gaur Kishwara Babaji Maharaj was actually asked this question. Why is it that sometimes great devotees are concealed from the rest of the world? Nobody knows that they exist. Like our Shilakirti Prabhu explains that once Prabhupada was traveling to South America by flight, and the devotees had packed for Srila Prabhupada some puffed rice mixed with peanuts. Prabhupada was having, he had the breakfast prasadam, and then the devotees, they started tasting the mahaprasad, remnants. So one air hostess, she was walking past and she saw puffed rice. She just put her hand into the puffed rice, the mahaprasad, popped into her mouth, and she said, "Tastes nice." She started asking, why did you bring your own prasadam? Why did you bring your own food? And the devotee started explaining. And then she said, "Can I do some service? Can I offer you something? Some hot milk, some fruits?" And Prabhupada said, "Hot milk." So she got hot milk for Prabhupada. But I read that more recently, a devotee in Brazil who is a book distributor, he went to some remote village and he was going door to door distributing books. And he came across one house. He knocked on the door. And the door opened. And there was a Mataji. The entire house was filled with transcendental photos. There was a beautiful altar in the house. She was wearing tilak, kanti mala. He asked, "How did you get in touch with devotees?" And she said, "I had met Srila Prabhupada on a flight. I was an air hostess. And Srila Prabhupada was so kind to me that simply by that association, I became very eager to know who this person is, what his literature, what his books are about. So I went back and started reading, and then I found the books prescribe that you must chant, you must offer all everything before eating. Simply by that one association, she became such a nice devotee. But still one might ask, why has someone to come in touch with Srila Prabhupada in a flight? Why doesn't Krishna reveal the glory of this devotee to everyone? So Gaur Kishwara Das Babaji Maharaj, he writes, in answer to this question, he answers this question as follows. He says that when exalted Vaishnavas attract people by his ecstatic love and devotion, and when he teaches them devotion to Lord Krishna, the Lord considers with some trepidation, "It will be difficult for me to repay the debt to those who have surrendered themselves to such Vaishnavas, who are as dear to me as my life. I will become the servant of those who are affectionate to my pure devotee, and thus I will easily come under the control. With this fear, Lord Krishna occasionally conceals the spiritual qualities of great souls from the eyes of the public." So Krishna conceals the glories of such great devotees because Krishna knows there will be more and more pure devotees, and I will become subordinate to more and more of them. Therefore, one of the characteristics of pure devotional service is that it's sudurlabha, it's very rare. Shri Krishna Akarshani, because it attracts even Krishna, and Krishna becomes subordinate. So Srila Prabhupada was also in this remote corner of New York in Jaladuta. Who paid attention to him? People in India, people in Jhansi took Prabhupada as just another Swami. Those who understood the philosophy, appreciated it, were not willing to dedicate themselves. So Mother Devaki also, in some remote prison, she is giving birth to 6 children. What tolerance and endurance, what faith in Krishna, what commitment to the service of the Lord. And Mother Devaki is explained that she is actually bhakti. Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, Mother Devaki is actually bhakti. But how will bhakti give rise birth to Krishna? Bhakti will give birth to Krishna when one, the bhakti is very fearful, or a bhakta is very fearful of maya, of mahamaya, of Lord's external energy. Very fearful. Mother Devaki was extremely fearful of Kamsa, and Kamsa actually symbolizes fear of material existence. And when this intense fear of material existence of Mahamaya, then what happens? Six anarthas are destroyed. Six children whom Kamsa himself killed. The six children were Kam, Lobh, Moha, Madha, Matsarya. So envy, lust, anger, greed, illusion, they are destroyed when there is intense fear. Prabhupada said, my greatest complaint against my disciples is that they are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. They think they have overcome Maya. But Maya is so powerful. Gaur Govind Maharaj explains in a lecture that you think I am a great Vaishnava. I speak so nicely, I sing so nicely, I talk so nicely, I walk so nicely. So Maya comes to you and says, I am such a nice Vaishnavi. You are a nice Vaishnava, I am such a nice Vaishnavi. We'll chant together. Chant in association. Nice intense japa. So this is our greatest problem, and we are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. Therefore, Prabhupada would often pray to Maya Devi, please protect me. Pray to Krishna, sorry. That please protect me against Maya. But Krishna is so eager that when we offer our intense prayer to Krishna to protect us from Maya, that same Maya potency, as Prabhupada explains, she facilitates our coming closer to Krishna. She facilitates that we make rapid advancement in the process of devotional service. It's very difficult for us to understand how Krishna can transform his energy. Our in the beautiful prayers of Lord Brahma, he expresses, Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman Yogeshwarotir Bhavatastrilokyam Kwavakatham Vakati Vakadeti Vistarayan Kridasi Yogamayam. He says, Krishna, first, I saw you eating some yogurt rice, some fruits, along with your cowherd boyfriends. You are stealing from each other's hands, stealing from each other's mouths. I saw that first. I saw that after hearing from the denizens of heaven how you have killed Aghasur. And what do I see? I come and see you eating like an ordinary boy. I steal your cowherd boys. I steal the calves. And then what happens? I come back after a moment, my moment. And what do I see? I see that you're still playing with those cowherd boys and calves, and they're happier than ever. And then suddenly they transform into 400 Vishnu forms. And then I see you surrounded by Kal. Actually, the Kal, Karma, Guna, everyone I see with 400 Vishnu forms surrounding you. And then what happens? Suddenly I see again this beautiful vision of you playing with the cowherd boys. So Krishna, you show what you want, you don't show what you don't want. He says, no one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. No one can understand. So we cannot understand. But all we can do is appreciate. That's the process of Krishna consciousness. I was hearing one of the Sunday classes by Govind Prabhu, and he was explaining, very often people philosophize. Why Jiva falls down from the spiritual world? But actually, all we need to do is see from Krishna's perspective. From Krishna's perspective, it's simple. Krishna is simply fulfilling the desire of the rebellious soul. And Krishna is fulfilling the desire of his dear devotee who wants to come back to him. And when he wants to fulfill the desire of his devotee who wants to come back to him, he orchestrates his Yogamaya Shakti, which can dispel all illusion and create new illusion. The illusion required to serve Krishna with intensity. How will a devotee be able to serve Krishna if he thinks that Krishna is completely independent, completely satisfied all by himself? That desire to serve Krishna will not be there. There's a beautiful pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj his brother Uttama was killed by the Yakshas, and Dhruva Maharaj, he went to punish the Yakshas as a king. It's interesting. Radhanath Maharaj explains in a class that even though Uttama had earlier been the cause of Dhruva Maharaj's distress, still Dhruva Maharaj is forgiving. And as a king, rightful king, he, righteous king, he goes to punish the Yakshas. However, when he goes to punish the Yakshas, they cover him with showers of arrows. Dhruva Maharaj emerges from behind a shower of arrows, and he very dexterously fights against the Yakshas. In course of time, Dhruva Maharaj enters the capital city of Alkapuri. Yakshas, they have demoniac asuri shakti. So they start, spell Maya. They cast a spell of Maya. What they do is, suddenly Dhruva Maharaj sees, urine, stool, pus, everything falling from the sky. He sees different personalities attacking him from all different directions. He's completely overwhelmed by this illusion that they create. So the great sages, they are fearful. Oh, what will happen if Dhruva Maharaj is defeated? So they immediately tell Dhruva Maharaj, please chant the names of the Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj simply chants the name of the Lord. Amazing, amazing pastime. He just chants the name of the Lord and all this illusion is dispelled. And Dhruva Maharaj is able to fight against the Yakshas with renewed vigor. So this big illusion that is created is all dispelled by chanting the names of the Lord. But when testing situations come, like the testing situation the Yakshas created for Dhruva Maharaj, it's very hard. Mind convinces us, let me just solve this problem, then I'll chant. Let me try all possible solutions, then I will chant. I haven't tried all possible solutions. I didn't try all my arrows. Let me exhaust all my arrows, then I'll chant. But Dhruva Maharaj, he had faith. Again, illustrates the power of association. In the association of devotees, we can see, we can actually appreciate, if not see, how Krishna can transform the Mahamaya Shakti to the Yogamaya Shakti, to make things favorable for our devotional life, to bring us closer to Krishna. And that's the only desire Krishna has. Krishna's only desire is to bring us closer to Him. And He's orchestrating this through these different pastimes. Yogamaya Shakti is constantly serving the Lord in Golok Vrindavan. It's amazing how the entire Golok Vrindavan, it's a beautiful planet, descended to this, what is it called? How many Krosha? How many? 84. Small tract of land, Vrajbhumi, the entire Golok Dham descended. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained that when the gopis were dancing with Krishna, they were dancing the entire night with Krishna. And Shukdev Goswami explains that actually this entire night of Ras Leela dance with the gopis was an entire night of Brahma. So Krishna, by his inconceivable potency, compressed the entire night of Brahma into an entire night of Ras Leela. And not only that, the gopis, after they danced with Krishna, they had to go back home. They would not go back home if they were to think that Krishna is our only Lord. So immediately Krishna created a feeling of guilt in their hearts. And they thought, we have to go back home. Our mother-in-laws will be waiting for us. But Krishna also, through his Yogamaya potency, he convinced the husbands of the gopis who were sitting at home. He convinced them that our wives have not gone out. Our wives are with us only. So, Srila Prabhupada, the disciples of Prabhupada write in the purport that this is what Yogamaya does. She orchestrates the different pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. Inconceivable things. Jiva Goswami writes in this context. Sorry, Rupa Goswami writes from Laghu Bhagavatamrita. He says, Evam Prabho Priyanam Cha Dhamnas Cha Samayasya Cha Achintya Prabhavatvat Atra Kinchin Na Durgatham. He says, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Nothing is impossible for the Lord, His dear devotees, His transcendental abode of the time of His pastimes, or the time of His pastimes. Nothing is impossible for the Lord, His devotees, His transcendental abode, or the time of His pastimes. And this is all orchestrated by the Lord's Yogamaya potency. So, a very beautiful series of verses And it's very appropriate that we are also hearing about the glories of the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. Monday is the most auspicious day of appearance of Srimati Radharani. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, 4th chapter, verse number 82, Krishnas Gavaraj Goswami explains how Srimati Radharani is actually the internal potency of the Lord. And all these pastimes are being orchestrated by her. He says, Devi Krishnamayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para. That Srimati Radharani is Devi. So in a series of verses, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami explains what each of these words mean. So Devi means she is resplendent, most beautiful, lovely abode of worship of Krishna. She is a lovely abode of worship of Krishna. And Krishnamayi means one who is within and without our Lord Krishna. So she is identical with Krishna. And Radhika means her aradhana is fulfilling Krishna's desire. That's all. So even as Yogamaya or Mahamaya, she is simply fulfilling Krishna's desire. And Paradevata. Paradevata means she is worshipable for all. So again, we saw in this verse that Bhadra, she is auspicious for all. So generally, someone is worshipable, he is auspicious for us, right? We worship someone who is auspicious. So she is worshipable for all. Why? Because she worships Krishna. She worships Krishna and she does nothing else other than worshipping Krishna. And then she is Sarva Lakshmi Mai. She is the original source of Goddess of Fortune. She represents all the six opulences. And Sarva Kanti. She is a summum bonum of all beauty and luster of Krishna. They reside in her. Another meaning Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami gives of Sarva Kanti is that all desires of Krishna reside in Srimati Radharani, which means she fulfills the desires of Krishna. So she is here expanding as Yogamaya and being instructed by Krishna to go to the beautiful land of Raja to serve her. How? As Prabhupada writes, in that beautiful land where many cows reside, Rohini is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudeva are also living there incognito because of fear of Gamsa. Please go there. Go there and do what? Go there and create a very beautiful atmosphere. Haribol. Beautiful atmosphere. So that all of them feel completely protected. And later on, he also instructs Yogamaya to transport Lord Balaram. I think the next verse. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial planetary expansion known as Sankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. So, very auspicious verse, and it's also great preparation for us for the most auspicious celebration of Srimati Radharani's auspicious appearance day, Radhashtami. So, we can offer our very sincere prayers at our lotus feet that with great determination we can overcome the temptations offered by Mahamaya, which are ever increasing in number, in quality and quantity. Quality and quantity both are ever increasing. We can pray that we are very enthusiastic and patient. Actually, the Vedic culture was of patience, enthusiasm and patience. Our Kali Yuga mentality is everything is instant, everything instant. You can't care for cows if you don't have patience. You can't care for traditional values if you don't have patience. The Vedic culture was completely filled with patience. You wait. Organic farming is patience. We are very impatient. Everything instant. So it's a culture. So we have lost this culture. So we are very impatient while chanting. Oh, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years I've chanted. Because it's the culture around is so bad. That's why Prabhupada wanted Varnashram system. I'm sorry, I digressed from the topic. But to create this atmosphere, we have so that we are enthusiastic and patient in the execution of devotional service. Otherwise, Maya Devi, she'll tempt us. Oh, you don't have the time? 3 years is too much? Here, I have a shortcut. The destination is slightly different. Not the same destination, but here's a shortcut nevertheless. So we can pray that we avoid such shortcuts and we have complete faith in the words of Guru and Shastra. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.